Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bay Presbyterian Church, this live stream broadcast of our concert of prayer here on this Wednesday evening, August 26, 2020. I'm Patrick Womack, the associate pastor here at the church, and I want to welcome you on behalf of the congregation. Glad you're able to join us this evening. As we join together in this concert of prayer, you'll have the opportunity this evening to experience the Lord through prayer as we will be praying together. I will be leading us. There will also be special music. That will be an opportunity for you to reflect on things that we talk about and otherwise that you may have in your own mind from Scripture. And so we will also be blessed with a message from our pastor. So welcome to you and glad that you can be with us. As we begin this evening, let's all pray together as we seek the Lord and are grateful for His grace. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, You are the Almighty, the King of creation, and we acknowledge You to be the Lord over all. And as we come before You, we're mindful, O God, of our sins, and we ask Your forgiveness. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. For You, O Lord, are holy, and in and of ourselves we are not. So be merciful to us, and pardon our transgressions, and grant to us assurance of salvation as we look to Jesus, who alone is the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank You for the great salvation that we have in Jesus. Thank You for the fellowship that we are able to enjoy even when we are separated socially and otherwise. We're grateful for technology that enables us to have services like this, and we pray that You will bless these efforts, not only those made by this church, but as other Bible-believing congregations across the land and around the world are able to reach out increasingly in this way. Please bless these efforts, that the name of Jesus will be known throughout the whole world. For Father, we're mindful of our neighbors, and we're grateful to You for those that You have brought us near. Thank You for the opportunity to get to know others who have different experiences, who have come from different backgrounds, who are on a different type of journey. And Lord, we pray that You will grant to us that grace that we may love them as You command us to. For we remember how that the Lord Jesus Himself has said that there are two great commandments: to love You, O God, with all of our heart, mind, and soul, but also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us for the ways that we have not done that, and show us ways that we can. Perhaps ways we haven't considered or thought of. Give us and reveal to us opportunities in which we may demonstrate our sincere affection for those around us. That, Lord, it may be said of us that we are neighbors to those near us. And, Lord, we pray especially for those in our proximity who are lost, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please use us as instruments to bear a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus and His finished work to them, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus because of believers, even us. So help us, Father, that we may be faithful in that way. But well beyond those in our immediate proximity, we recognize, Lord, that we have neighbors everywhere in the world. And so grant that we may be loving and kind and gracious to all. And especially we pray that You will help us to reach out to those that are different from us, and that we would not be discouraged from doing so because of a different skin color or ethnicity, a different language. Help us, Father, to show the world what it looks like to be reconciled to one another, even as we're reconciled to You. And we pray that the church may be a shining example in the world to see how that people of different races and different backgrounds can be together in the same place, united in love for You and love for one another. Lord, we have much to learn in this area, and there's much growing to do, but grant us grace that we may learn and grow, that we'll demonstrate and show the world that we're Your disciples because of the love that we have for each other. Lord, we pray that as You show us the way and as our hearts are tender and yielded to You, that we would have a clear vision of what heaven will be like, populated with people from every possible background and experience. That, Lord, the longing of our hearts would be to show what heaven looks like here on earth as much as is possible in a fallen world. Lord, we pray that you'll unite your church in these days of deep division, when many hold different political opinions, or perhaps even have different ideologies embedded in our thinking. Lord, overcome all that would divide us as a church and unite us together in the Lord Jesus. Even as there are divisions over externals, incidentals, whether it's music or the color of paint in a Sunday school classroom. Lord, help us to focus on those things that matter most, that the essentials would be foremost, and that Jesus Christ, above all, will be preeminent. Lord, grant that we may die to self, each of us. We might take up the cross daily to follow him. That we, as John the Baptist, may each have lodged in our hearts the notion that we must decrease in order that he might increase. And thus, O Lord, we may find that your church indeed is one body, undivided, for we are one in Christ. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed us to be a part of the church. Having saved us from our sins and out of the world, we pray, O Father, that by your grace we may live as those who are followers of Jesus, that we may be that colony of heaven here on earth. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on the church, blessing upon each of us individually, that we may go about doing good, that we may seek to be a blessing in the lives of those around us, even as we are blessed, that people might be thankful that we live next door to them or across the street from them, or that even lost family members, while they may disagree with our faith, would nevertheless be grateful that we are part of their lives, that they would see that we are genuinely trusting in Jesus and genuinely seeking the betterment of the people that we love and come in contact with. Oh, Father, bless us together as we continue in this time together, whether watching by live stream or just the two or three of us who are meeting here. Lord, may we be bound together across the distances as we together look to Jesus, our glorious and great Savior, the one who has died for us, the one who has taken our sins upon himself, in order that we might be reconciled to you. Reconcile us, we pray, to one another. For all of these things we ask, in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever.
Well, good evening and welcome to our concert of prayer tonight. Thank you for being here, and I want to thank your very good staff for all their help, from Tom Rogers, who pays the bills and makes sure we have light and electricity for our electronic equipment, to Joe Foster, who helps with the administration and makes sure that the building is in good shape, to Jenny, who prepares the slides that you see and enjoy, to Gordon and his accompaniment, and to Rachel for her wonderful reading capacity and her work with the ladies here, and our teaching pastor, Patrick Womack, Carol Blake, who helps with the worship, and Carl Ham, who is in the sound booth right now, making sure that my words are intelligible to you tonight. Well, in the past, we've had several prayer sessions, and we've prayed for our church family. We've prayed for an end to the pandemic. We've prayed for peace and an end to the violence in our streets. We have prayed in adoration, in confession, and in thanksgiving, supplication. And last month, we looked at prayer as it's reflected in our hymns, particularly looking at the hymn, "The Church's One Foundation," and the bigness of prayer that comes out of that. Tonight, I want to talk briefly on another subject, that is prayer as a way to love our neighbor. That is our theme tonight, loving our neighbor through prayer. In a familiar exchange our Lord Jesus had with an attorney of the day, the lawyers of the day, it was supposed to be a gotcha question that was posed to Jesus. And I guess after a fashion it was a gotcha question, except it was the wrong person who got. And the teacher of the law said to Jesus, and this is in Matthew chapter 22, "Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And from this particular scripture and ones like it, we draw our vision statement for our church, which is that Bay Presbyterian Church is a community of believers loving and worshiping God, loving and serving our neighbors. Yet I think oftentimes, how can we serve our neighbors? I have to tell you, I have not been a great neighbor over the years. Most of the time, our neighbors aren't a part of our church family, and they may or may not even be believers in Jesus Christ, so we aren't even sure we have common ground. How is it that we can love our neighbors when there's not even common ground? Well, the answer to that is plenty. One book that I've enjoyed over the years has been a book by Stephen Shogren, wrote Conspiracy of Kindness, in which he suggests and illustrates what he refers to as kindness ministries, built off the verse in Romans 2:4 that says, "God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance." Some of his suggestions to reaching out to our neighbors include helping them with yard work, bringing them a carnation for no particular reason, sweeping the sidewalks. And by the way, the oaks are throwing their acorns right now. And if your neighbor doesn't have an oak tree in front of their house, then I invite you to come over to the church because we have plenty here. bringing up the garbage cans from the curb after the trash pickup has taken place. Food delivery when they are sick, bake a loaf of bread or some cookies for your neighbor for no particular reason. Any of these things will pique your neighbor's curiosity as to what your motive might be. And when posed the question, the answer I give folks is, I'm just trying to show you God's love in a practical way. There was a movement a year or so ago, maybe you'll remember it, and there were stick signs in the ground. We even had a neighbor that wrote it on their roof. It said, "Be kind." Of course, we've had innumerable violent riots since that time. I think we need something a bit more transformative than stick signs. And I'm going to suggest something that's so obvious, so simplistic, that many of you will say that I'm crazy or childish. But I think the ultimate act of kindness for a neighbor is to pray for them. It's relatively easy, but it is, in fact, the ultimate kindness. It is transformative, and it requires no common ground. And so with that in view, using prayer to love and serve our neighbors, I'd like to make a few suggestions as to how you might engage in this. My first suggestion is simply pray for your neighbors by name. As some earlier writers suggest, you pray for particular people particularly. In Colossians, the apostle said, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ. That's in Colossians chapter 4. The apostle asks that they pray specifically or particularly for Paul and for Timothy, and not a general blessing. Now, he does the same thing when he writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. This time, he suggests that they include Silvanus with Timothy in their prayers. God will most certainly have his way with your neighbor, whether or not you mention their name. God knows their name. But to use their name is to respect your neighbors and to engage with them. A second suggestion to this end is to ask your neighbors, your co-workers or your family members, we'll call them all neighbors, but to ask your neighbors, how can you pray for them? Very often, we'll ask God simply to bless our neighbors. But what do we mean when we, or what do we intend by bless? Often we use bless as a placeholder. We use it to hold the place of what our neighbor might really need, but we just simply don't know what it is, so we just ask God to bless them. It's not a bad thing, but it is a powerful thing for your neighbors to hear you say that you want to pray for them and you'd like to know how. I've actually seen people reduced to tears when I tell them that I'd like to pray for them. You see, we kind of take prayer for granted. Because prayer is granted. But we take it that way, and we discount its value because it's such a small thing for us to pray for someone else. In my experience, if that in fact is a gauge, your neighbor will love you for praying for them. They might not know the presence of God in their life, so they may not feel as though they have standing with God to ask him for anything. And when they realize that you talk to God and you care about them, they'll seek you out, as my neighbor has done with me. Number three, pray for your friend or neighbor often. Paul told the Philippians, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, in Philippians 1 and verse 3. Paul prayed regularly and often for his prayer targets. I have a friend, his name is Hank. I called up Hank after he had moved away from Naples Bonita Springs area. I called him up just to make chit-chat with him. I had nothing in particular to say to him, but I kind of missed my friend, so I called up Hank, and we just visited with each other. But Hank was so touched that I followed him to wherever it was that he moved to, that he said this at the end of the conversation. John, wherever you are, whenever you think of it, wherever you go, know for certain that I am praying for you. What an enormous blessing to me to know that Hank is always praying for me. Your neighbor will feel much the same way. Number four, pray big prayers for your neighbor. Undoubtedly, your neighbor will tell you about their worrisome mole or painful arthritis, maybe even if they've had a brush with a COVID virus, but they're going to be a little less forthcoming about the way their kids or their grandkids have broken their heart, or they're being flummoxed on how to deal with their children running off the rails. So you pray big prayers for your neighbors. Now, what do I mean when I say big prayers? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. The first one comes from Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read this prayer to you. We don't have it on the screens, but I want you to listen to this out of Ephesians 1. You can go back later on. It's Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23. It's Paul's prayer in the first chapter of Ephesians. And I'm going to read through it. And then you tell me what you think Paul's praying for in this prayer. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him, Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. How many things did Paul pray for in that? He prayed for one. That they might be filled with his spirit, which would then in turn give them wisdom and knowledge of God. It would give them the knowledge of the hope to which they were called. It would give them the immeasurable greatness of his power in their lives. He prayed for one thing. It was a big prayer. Pray big prayers for your neighbor. The second prayer is from Ephesians chapter 3. And the answer to the question, what did he pray for? Not much. But at the same time, a whole lot. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14 down through the end of the chapter in verse 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here's what he prayed in the second prayer. That they might be strengthened with power through his Spirit. That they may be rooted in and grounded in love. And that they would know the love of Christ. Big prayers. Big prayers. Prayers that transcend physical conditions, environmental conditions, economic conditions. These are transformative prayers, prayers that change lives. These are big prayers for your neighbor. You can go right into the scriptures and pray these prayers for your neighbors. Number five, pray for opportunities to speak to their real needs, their spiritual needs, as you pray for them. Then look for the opportunities that God gives you to speak and to serve and to love and care for your neighbor. And finally, six, pray for Christ to rule in your hearts. I think that if you pray for your neighbors in this fashion, which is a biblical model, that you're going to find opportunities to walk through open doors with your neighbors. And your neighbors will provide you those open doors, and they're going to provide you with the opportunity to be spiritual mentors. All this precipitated simply by praying. It's a marvelous exercise that enjoys the favor of Almighty God. And it certainly is a way, a transformative way, to be kind and love your neighbors. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll have copies of this available for you. There's a lot to absorb in this, I know. But we'll have copies available for you if you're interested. And with that, I would say let's close our evening with prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we know that in your providence you have placed us where you have. You have placed us in this beautiful place in Southwest Florida, and you have stationed around us our neighbors. That is no coincidence. That is an act of your providence. And now, God, we pray that as we pray for our neighbors, as we love them through prayer, God, we pray that you would open doors for the gospel of Christ, even as Paul asked both the church in Ephesus, the church in Colossae, and the church in Thessalonica. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would move hearts and that you would be transcendent in the way in which you deal with our neighbors. So the kindness that we demonstrate will be lasting and will change hearts. We pray these things because of the glory of Christ. Amen. Thank you and good evening.